Good morning. It's a blessing once again to be with you on this Lord's Day and take advantage of the opportunity we have and the freedom we share to look into another portion of God's Word. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. God, our great Father in heaven, we thank you for being such a loving, caring, merciful Father. Father, we even thank you for the times when you've had to discipline us and thank you for disciplining us in love. Father, we thank you for your inspired word, for the wisdom and knowledge that we gain from the word of God, Father. And we pray that you might give us strength and courage and wisdom as we strive to apply it to our lives. Father, we pray we might yield to you, your word and your spirit, and allow you to transform us into being the people that you would have us to be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we turn over to the book of John, John chapter 15 and verses 1 through 11. The title of the sermon is, He is the Vine and We Are the Branches. Now, of course, back in Jesus' time, there were no laptops with PowerPoint projectors or screens to project on. And yet Jesus, the master communicator and teacher, would so many times use visual aids as a tool in his teaching. In this case, as we're about to read here in John chapter 15, Jesus uses the vine and the branches. Grapevines, which they were looking at, possibly as they walked along, or they could see in their mind's eye as Jesus taught. And here in California, of course, with Napa Valley so close and so many other areas actually around the Bay Area that are growing grapes now, we can imagine in our own mind's eye, along with them, the vine and the branches. Even as Jesus is teaching, by evening on the following day, Jesus would be hanging on the cross. So Jesus knew that the words he was speaking to his disciples this night would echo in their ears the rest of their lives. Let's begin there in John chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Continuing on now in verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. In verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. First of all, let's notice the definitions given by Jesus. Jesus is the true vine. He is the genuine, real stock. Now, when you go back to the Old Testament, Israel is often pictured and referred to as a vine that God has planted and cared for. Going back to Psalm 80, verses 8 through 16, Jeremiah 2:21, Ezekiel chapter 15 and chapters 19. This morning, we'll look at Isaiah 5 in verses 1 through 3. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. You see, here we get a picture of God doing all that he could in order to make the vineyard fruitful. In verses 2 and 3, we find that he looked for it to produce fruit, but only wild grapes, meaning bad fruit, was produced. Israel is referred to here as an unfruitful vine that did not bear the fruit that God had intended it to bear so many times. Well, by contrast, Jesus is the true vine. God, his Father, is referred to as the vine dresser. Now, the vine, by definition, not that I'm an expert in grapevines, although my relatives did actually have grape vineyards up in upstate New York, and they sold to Welch's Grape Juice, by the way. And I don't get any commissions if you go buy Welch's Grape Juice, but I did get to see the grapevines up close and personal. The vine defined is not actually a long trailing limb that sprawls along a trellis. That's what first comes to my mind when I think about just the word vine, because I see vines, you know, growing along the rain spouts and trellises on around houses so many times. That's not what Jesus is referring to. It's actually the trunk of the grape plant that grows out of the ground. Normally about waist high, 36 inches to 42 inches high. And then it ends in a large fist-sized knot or gnarl, where, of course, then the branches begin to grow out. Now, the vine feeds the branches, of course, just like the roots of a tree feed the tree. Without the vine, the branches bear no fruit. In fact, without the vine, the branches would not exist. But likewise, without the branches, the vine bears no fruit. And as we're reminded, Jesus is the vine. He refers to himself as the vine. The vine dresser is defined here by Jesus as the keeper of the vineyard. That would be either the owner or the person hired to tend to it. The vine dresser's task is to coax the most pounds of grapes possible from the plants. A healthy, properly tended vineyard would yield a more bountiful crop. And not only a more bountiful crop, but also a better quality crop. Well, in this case, Jesus makes it clear that God, our Father in heaven, is the vine dresser. Now you think about the branches defined. They extend from the knot of the trunk, first of all, in either direction. And as we see, even here in California, they're tied along a wire or a string so many times to help produce more fruit. And the branches are the focus of the vine dresser's efforts because they produce the fruit. Branches are tied to the trellis or propped up with sticks to let air circulate, provide maximum amount of sunshine exposure, and allow full access for tending to the plants. Well, you and I, as disciples and followers of Christ, are referred to as the branches. And then the fruit that's referred to, the fruit is the fruit of the Spirit, perhaps, first of all, which is the Spirit itself is given to indwell us as Christians when we're baptized into Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is referred to in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is the good fruit God wants to see produced in us as the branches. And then there are good works in general, meeting the urgent needs of others, for example. They're referred to as good fruit. As Paul points out to Timothy and Titus, rather, in Titus 3 and verse 14. Let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Now, disciples, producing disciples, can also be referred to as good fruit, leading other people to Christ and to faith in Christ. And of course, that ties in with the Great Commission, where Jesus in Matthew 28, verse 18 said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you." Paul writes in Philemon, and in verse 6, "I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ." So we strive individually to share our faith and produce, allow God to produce fruit through us. And then, of course, we work to collectively together as the body of Christ in striving to produce good fruit. Now, the branch that does not bear fruit or good fruit is referred to here. Going back to John chapter 15 and in verse 2, we read there that he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So we find that those branches that don't produce fruit are cut off and taken away. They're thrown away, gathered up, and actually cast into the fire. So when we, as branches, agree or to cooperate with God, and it's our desire to produce good fruit in our lives, and of course, it's the vine dresser's goal to produce good fruit through us, we can cooperate and of course, live a fruitful life in Christ and serving God until we go home to be with Him. If, unlike the vines of a true grapevine, we have a will of our own as vines, right? As living vines. When we decide to be rebellious and not cooperate with God, unfortunately, we bear bad fruit. And then the consequence is to be thrown out and to thrown into the fire. And really, eternal consequences are referred to here. He's referring to being eternally separated from God. But the branch that does bear fruit, in verse 2, we find is pruned by the vine dresser. And that's the branch we want to be. We want to be the type of branches that are willing to be pruned by the vine dresser. And he's referring to here being cleaned or cleansed at times by the vine dresser. And of course, we're cooperating with God to provide that spiritual cleansing in our lives, a cleansing that only God can provide. And then the branch that does bear fruit produces even more fruit. We find in verse 2, when we allow the vine dresser to do his work and complete his work, and bears much fruit, we find in verses 5 and verse 8. Verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing." So as a Christian, I'm striving to remain in him, to abide in him and his word, and allow His Word to abide in me, that I might bear good fruit. When He says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing," I think back to visiting upstate New York, up around Lake Seneca, and seeing some of those branches that had been pruned and thrown on a pile to be burned later. It's kind of obvious that those branches, completely severed from the vine, are no longer going to produce anything. And they're off in this pile ready to be burned. They're non-producers. And that's not where we want to be. We want to remain in the vine, abide in him, allow his words to abide in us, and produce good fruit. In verse 8, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit." So we're blessed in our own lives to bear this kind of good fruit in our lives and be a blessing to others. But ultimately, it's all to the Father's glory, all to the glory of God. How can I become a fruit-bearing branch? Well, we've already looked at that briefly already, but Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. Another translation, remain in me and allow me to remain in you. We have to stay connected to the vine. And there's two main significant ways we do that. Through reading the word of God, that's abiding in Him and abiding in His Word. Not just the teachings of Jesus, but abiding in the teachings of the other inspired writers of the Bible and the New Testament specifically. He who abides in me and me in him bears much fruit. Verse 5. Verse 7, if you abide in me and I abide in you, ask whatever you wish. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. So we see here that it goes beyond just becoming familiar with and knowing the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of the New Testament, but actually taking that extra step and that extra commitment to keep his commandments. Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. So we have to first be in Christ or in the vine before we can continue on abiding or remaining in him. In Romans 6 and verse 3, Paul writes, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? And of course, that's how we get into Christ. When we acknowledge and agree with God that we're sinners, we have a sin problem that only God can help us with, we decide to repent of that sin. We come to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We come to believe that he gave himself on the cross for us. For the forgiveness of our sins, he offered himself as a sacrifice. We believe that after the 3 days in the tomb, after his crucifixion, he was raised and now sits at the right hand of God. And then, of course, we confess him as our personal Lord, and we're baptized into Christ. That's how we get into Christ, and that's how we initially get into the vine. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, Paul writes, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, into his body, the body of Christ. Paul writes again in Galatians 3 in verse 26 and 27, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So it's in baptism that we put on Christ. It's in baptism that we get into Christ. And then, of course, we strive as Christians to remain in him. As we already looked at briefly, this involves not only knowing the teachings of Jesus, but obeying his teachings. John 10 and verse 27, we read Jesus saying and teaching, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So you notice as his sheep, and with Jesus here referred to as our shepherd, we not only listen to his voice and he knows us, but then also they follow me. We've made a decision to follow Christ, to follow his teachings, to put them into practice in our lives. And then, of course, here in John 15, back to our text for today in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So Jesus' command to abide or remain in me presupposes the ability of the believer to decide to abide or decide not to abide, depending on our own will. So we decide to remain in him, to abide in him, and then to bear much fruit. What a beautiful life it is when I think about Christian lives and Christians I have known, some of whom have passed on now. And you go to their memorial service, and it's beautiful to see the good fruit that they bore throughout their lives. And then so many times to meet other people who were blessed by their life and by their good fruit. We bear much good fruit, again, when we allow God to prune us in verses 4 and 5. Remain in me, I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Well, sometimes we have to allow God to discipline us. And that discipline that God's providing is actually part of the pruning that he's doing in our lives. We read in Hebrews 12 and verses 7 through 11 that God disciplines us as sons or as His children, those He loves. And that if we're not disciplined, then we're illegitimate children. So we should expect to be disciplined by God. Or as it ties in with our lesson today, pruned by God. And then it's on us to cooperate with that pruning and that disciplining process. When we pray according to His will, we'll bear much fruit. 1 John 5 and verse 14, this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So certainly we pray, but we strive to pray according to His will. We pray and strive to pray with the right motives, as James points out in James 4 and verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend it on your pleasures. So James, of course, is referring to here to praying and with really a selfish attitude and putting our wants before God's will. And that, of course, hinders our prayers and can prevent us from bearing much fruit. God is glorified, of course, when His servants do His will, keep His commandments, abide in Christ, and produce much good fruit. As a matter of fact, we prove ourselves to be our disciples in producing good fruit. And His joy, the joy of Christ, is in us. And our joy will be made full when we remain in the vine and we produce good fruit. Because remember, Jesus said in verse 11, I have told you this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. What a blessing that is in our Christian lives when our joy is made complete and we can live a joyful life, live a life at peace with God, producing good fruit throughout our lives. Remember, if we never make that decision to get into Christ to begin with, if we never take that first step to start our Christian walk, we never have the opportunity to remain in Him and to produce good fruit. Remember Galatians 3, verse 26 and 7. Clothe yourself with Christ by being baptized into Christ, if you haven't already. The lesson is yours today. And I pray that throughout the coming week and throughout the rest of our lives, we might be able to produce the good fruit and much good fruit that God desires to produce through us, the vine, as we strive to remain in Him, Christ. I'm sorry, in us, the branches, as we strive to remain in Him, in Christ, the vine. Now, to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we're going to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. There we read, "For I received from the Lord," Paul writes, "what I also passed on to you, the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" So as we partake, we look forward to the return of Christ Himself. As we partake of the cup, we look back and remember the body and the blood that was sacrificed on our behalf. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Therefore, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." So before we partake, we look back, remembering His sacrifice. We look forward, remembering and looking forward to His return. And then we also look inward, examining ourselves before we partake. Let's pray together for the bread. Father, we pray together now for the unleavened bread we're about to partake of, which represents your broken body for us, and you taking upon yourself the sin that each one of us deserves. We thank you. We can't thank you enough, Father, and we pray that we can partake in a way that is worthy as we do strive to look back, look forward, and look within as we examine ourselves. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer for the blood. I'm sorry, for the fruit of the vine that represents that blood that was shed on our behalf. Our Father, our God in heaven, we pray that you'd be with us now, even as we partake of this fruit of the vine that represents that precious, valuable blood shed on our behalf on the cross, that we might experience not only forgiveness of sins, but freedom from sin, and experience the hope of spending eternity with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we continue on with the rest of our week, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer one more time, asking for wisdom and strength in this coming week. Our Father and God in heaven, again, we thank you. We thank you for your loving kindness, your mercy with us, your patience toward us, and of course, your great love expressed in sending your Son to die for us and take the punishment that we deserve. We pray that through the rest of today and throughout this coming week, Father, you might help us. Help us to remain in the vine and produce the good fruit that you would have us to produce, as we strive to serve you and bring glory to your name for our short time here. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.